Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is the Recruiting Animal back with you again. You know, just a little while ago, Chris Russell, the recruiting fly, left a comment on my blog in which he said that Joel Cheeseman of Cheesehead.com is the king of all recruiting bloggers. And that got me thinking, do you remember the scene in White Heat? I know it's an old movie, but a lot of you have seen it on TV. Anyway, there's a scene in White Heat in which Jimmy Cagney plays a violent, psychopathic gangster, and he gets up on top of a big oil tank and shouts, "Top of the world, Ma!" and then it explodes. Well, if we were going to have a contest that would allow one recruiting blogger to call his mother up and say, "Top of the world, Ma!" who would win? Who would it be? Would it be Joel, like the recruiting fly says? Or would it be Papa John Sumser? Or the recruiting fly himself? Or would it be my old friend, J.D.? I was pondering that question when the man himself called me up and said, "Animal, September 5th, I'm coming on your show." I said, "Wait a second. You think you're my friend? You can come on whenever you want?" He said, "Yeah, kinda." I said, "What are we going to talk about?" He said, "I don't know." I said, "I don't like moving ahead without a topic." He said, "Don't worry. I'll come up with something." I said, "Gee, I don't know." He said, "Animal, don't worry. I'm J.D. You book me in. It's going to be great." So live from Toronto, I'm the Recruiting Animal. My guest is J.D. And this is the Recruiting Animal Show. And there's no music today for sure. So I'm just going to see if J.D. is there. J.D. Jason Davis, come on down.
Hi, everybody.
Are you on a good phone?
I am, but why don't you go ahead and do the, it's always my favorite when you do the animal, the werewolf.
No, I'm not prepared for that today. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to do. Hi, everybody. J.D. is here. Jason, what's up?
Not much.
Well, what do you want to talk about?
I just want to say hi to the Recruitosphere.
Okay, go ahead.
I just did.
Well, what else do you want to talk about?
No, you ask me questions.
I ask you. Okay, JD, I hear you got a new website.
Well, it's not that new.
But you're here to talk about it, aren't you?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. It's called recruitingblogs.com, isn't it? And what do you want to tell us about it?
Well, I think it's a great site, and I think it deserves to get more attention.
More attention? You've already got 600 members, and you didn't have to do a darn thing to get them.
Are you saying I don't work at it? Are you saying that I don't work at it?
Well, I hesitate to say it, but yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
So what if I don't have to work hard and I still get good results? That means I'm smart, doesn't it? But I do work at it.
Oh, okay. So, tell us. Tell all your friends about recruitingblogs.com.
Ask me questions.
Oh, okay. JD, what is recruitingblogs.com?
You call that a question? It's kind of vague, isn't it?
What am I supposed to say?
How am I supposed to know? It's your show.
Okay, JD, can you tell us a little about recruitingblogs.com?
Sure. Recruitingblogs.com, it's a social networking site for recruiters.
Yeah.
Membership is free.
Yeah.
Every member gets her own page.
Yeah.
That hosts your profile, your videos, your audios, your blog postings. It has a chatter wall, and you can send messages to each other by internal mail.
Okay, so social networking, everyone gets their own page. They can put all kinds of crap up there. They have these chatter walls where you can just leave quick messages. And I got a question for you now. Who are the most active participants in recruitingblogs.com?
You know I can't tell you that. It's confidential.
But confidential? Eh? What do you mean it's confidential? I could go there myself and see who's putting up the most postings.
So why don't you?
We're on the show now.
That's not my problem. You're the host.
Yeah, but you're the guest. You're supposed to entertain us.
Nobody told me that.
Well, what'd you come on for then?
Like the guy last week. I want to promote something.
So go ahead. You got an hour.
Ask me questions.
Okay, JD. Let me see. I read all kinds of stuff about setting up social networks. And apparently, building the site is the easy part. The hard part is getting the people to participate. But you seem to have solved that problem. People are just coming to you like bees to honey. So I want you to tell me, how does that work?
I don't know.
That's your answer. Okay, well, you know, you didn't have a big launch, and you don't do any consistent marketing, which apparently these are requirements, but the new members just keep on coming to you, and I want to know what it is that makes them come. Maybe you smell good or something.
What do you mean, do I smell good?
It was a joke. It was a joke. JD, here's something else that I hear is important. When you're trying to make a site popular, you got to have quality content, everybody says. But you don't supply any content, and you don't want to. You leave that to the users.
I write stuff.
But not really tons. Most of the content you leave for the users to create. Am I right?
Right, yes.
Okay. So, JD, then, what are the if you leave in everything for the users, what are the obvious benefits that you offer to a new user? If someone was listening to this show and they thought, okay, maybe I should check out recruitingblogs.com, what are you offering them?
You know what, Mike? That's a real good question.
Okay.
Okay,
it is?
Yeah. I mean, recruitingblogs.com, it's a good place to promote yourself. If you're a recruiting manager, it's also a good place to find people you can hire. It's a great way to develop deep relationships, more so, I feel, than on a regular blog.
Okay, well, that last one kind of interests me. Do you know anyone who's developed a deep relationship via recruitingblogs.com?
No. How would I? I don't know what's going on between the members. That's confidential.
Okay, well, I don't know what to ask you. Do you have any new features that you'd like to tell us about that you're going to offer?
Yes, I do, but that's secret.
Oh, okay. Let me see then. You know, let me go backtrack. You're here today, okay? I don't know why you didn't wait to come on the show when you were ready to announce those things, but since you're here now, why don't you give us a little sneak preview of what's to come? Trust me, if it's on the show, not too many people are going to hear about it.
Okay, well, there's a couple things I'm looking to do with the site. The first one includes Craig Silverman. He has a site called Hireability, and he has a pretty interesting new type of splits network, and one of the things we're going to be doing is we're going to be building out a little mini group for the members of recruitingblogs.com. There's going to be some interesting features and that sort of thing.
So he's got a system for doing splits online, and you're going to adopt his system on recruitingblogs.com. Is that right?
And splits placements aren't for everybody, but certainly there's a good degree of people who do it, and he's got an interesting way about going about it. And what we're going to do is we're going to build a system right into Recruiting Blogs so the members can use the system right inside Recruiting Blogs. Another company, which I can't really mention right now, but one of the things that we're looking at...
You can't mention very much, I got to tell you.
Sorry, what was that?
Go ahead, nothing.
One of the other things that we're going to be doing is looking to... There's a company... Let me start again. There's a company that goes out and markets their service to employers who come, and there's a couple companies doing this, so I can't really say who it is, but essentially we will have a
listing...
That's
your theme today. I can't say.
I can't say. You can't say what?
Just go ahead.
Okay. So there is going to be a company that is going to market the needs of actual companies out there with real impressive fees that represent 25% of the fee or higher, and the members of recruitingblogs.com will be able to actually see that in real time and then use the system to do business with these companies. And
they'll contract for searches, you're saying, online.
Correct.
There'll be some kind of feed of jobs, and these guys will say, I want to work on that. Is that
right? Exactly. One of the issues that I always found with these systems historically is that a company would say, okay, sure, you know what, I'll put up a fee that represents, 5% or 10% of the total salary, and no recruiter is going to spend their time doing that. But lately what's been happening is I see that companies, I guess, are becoming a little wiser to that, and they are posting fees that represent 25% or higher.
Yeah, they're not becoming wiser. The market's twisting their arm.
No, I don't think the market's twisting their arm. I think they're becoming wiser.
Okay.
Because, I mean, if you want recruiters to work your searches, the fees need to be in line.
That's what I said. I know you don't understand what I said, but that's what I said. In other words, but go ahead.
The other thing, and the thing that excites me most is that, you know, when I look at recruitingblogs.com, I see the real value is in communication. And the site itself, you know, Ning has set this up, and they certainly can't solve everything.
Ning, lots of people don't know, Ning.com is the software platform that recruitingblogs.com is built on. JD didn't have to build it from scratch, just like he didn't have to invite his members. He just signed on and got a network from these guys.
Yeah, and the network is not built, the Ning system is not built to deal with recruiters and the way recruiters want to communicate with each other and the kinds of things that I think that a recruiter would be interested in. So what I want
to... I think you have to talk louder. Can you talk into your phone, JD?
Is that better?
A regular problem for me.
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. So what I would like to do is turn recruitingblogs.com into much more of an effective communication tool for the members that deal in a way for recruiters. So as opposed to just being able to send a message saying, hello, how are you, what are you doing?
What does that mean in realistic terms?
Well, you'll have to wait and find out. But what I'm really more interested
in... Thanks. Okay, go ahead.
No problem. But what I'm really...
It's a sneak preview, right? You can't tell us that much. Okay, yeah.
But what I'm really interested in is over the next, you know, month or two, really going on a feedback drive and finding out what it is that...
How are you going to get feedback? You're going to send out surveys?
No, I'm going to contact people.
How are you going to decide who you're going to contact?
Well, I'm going to try to contact as many people as I can. I'm going to start with the people who use the site the most. The reality is, though...
The people who use the site the most that I asked about before, right?
But it's confidential.
Okay.
You know that. I can't tell you that.
Okay.
But... You know, there's over 500 members on the site right now, which is fantastic. The thing is, the vast majority of them do not come to the site every day. The vast majority...
A little louder, please.
I'm screaming.
Oh, that's better. Now you're screaming.
The vast majority of the people are not interested in coming and setting up their page to look all pretty with designs and logos and videos and RSS feeds and that sort of thing. I think the majority of people sign on to these social networks because they're looking, they're hoping to get something out of it if they're a recruiter that's going to help them do better at what it is that they're doing.
What did you just say? They don't come regularly because?
They don't come regularly because I don't believe that the majority of recruiters, or at least the ones who are signed up to recruitingblogs.com, are interested in having the nicest looking page.
Okay.
And participating in all of the conversations.
Okay. They're looking to make money.
Yes.
And right now they don't believe they can do that on the platform.
Well, I think the ones who use it believe that by fostering new relationships with new people that they're meeting will lead down the road to new business. But what I want to do is I want to take that and create new ways on the Ning system, particularly to recruitingblogs.com, where it's more relevant to recruiters.
Yeah, okay, okay, okay. Anything else? Any other secrets that you want to tell us?
No, that's about it.
Okay. So, you know, I have a question.
Yeah.
It's a kind of personal thing. You know, once you started recruitingblogs.com, a lot of other recruiters started social networks using the same social networking platform, Ning. Chris Russell, the recruiting fly, I spoke about him in the introduction, he's got jobboarders.com. Craig Silverman has the recruiting network. What do you think about that? How do you feel about it?
Listen, I told you I didn't want to discuss that. It's a real sore spot with me. And is this show about Chris Russell or me?
You know, don't get offended. I was just praising you as a trailblazer. Listen, that's a compliment. And we got a whole lot of time left. And I know you got a lot of things that are very secret and hush-hush. So maybe we should just switch over to a little more general topic. We'll chit-chat about the recruitosphere, and then we can come back to recruiting blogs or whatever specific projects you're involved in, okay?
Sure.
Okay, so let's talk about Cheesehead. You know, Chris Russell said he's the king of the recruiting bloggers. I think that's debatable. You might have that crown on your head. But Cheesehead does have a new site design. I want to know, do you like it?
Sure, I like it.
Well, what do you like about it?
I just like it. It makes me feel good when I look at it.
You don't have any specific reasons why?
Well, I do. You know, what I like about it is that he's always changing it. He's always moving ahead with it. And I like, you know.
You know,
I,
what you're saying means nothing. Changing it, moving ahead with it. So you just like change for change's sake. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think it's important, especially with a blog.
Okay, but I asked you, is there anything specific about the site that you like?
I just like it.
Okay, thanks. Well, Izai, here's another thing. He's got a new section, Cheesehead Extra. You know, Extra is the name of a magazine here in Toronto, extra.ca. If anybody wants to check it out, X-T-R-A, just like Cheesehead spells it. Anyway, so he's got this stable of writers now. Do you know any of them?
I do.
Okay, well, one of them's a guy named Hank Stringer. I've heard the name. Don't know who he is. Do you know?
Nice guy. He runs the It's Big blog.
It's Big, okay?
I mean, and not just the It's Big blog, the actual site, It's Big.
It's Big, okay. Anything else you can tell us about him?
Not really, other than he was one of the founders of a company called Hire.com, so he's been around.
He's been around, okay, yeah. And Harleen?
I don't know her.
What kind of name is that, Harleen?
I don't know her.
She's got a site, apparently, called Damsels in Success.
Well, then you can tell us about it, because I just told you I don't know her.
I don't know anything about her either. Listen, I'm just trying to make conversation, JD. Speaking of which, here's a topic. I understand that you, JD, are a very good networker. So, why don't you share some of your networking tricks with us?
You know, I don't really have any tricks.
Well, you go to a lot of conferences. What do you say when you meet new people?
I say hi.
Okay, don't you have any kind of standard things you say to, you know, break the ice and start a conversation between strangers?
No.
What about follow-up? I know you work the phones, don't you?
Yeah, I call people up just to stay in touch.
Well, does it work for you?
Absolutely.
Well, what do you talk about? You know, just personal note, I never feel comfortable calling, you know, people up if I don't have some specific business or to talk about.
I don't have that problem.
You just call and say hi?
Yep.
And then what?
I ask how they are and if there's anything special happening, and then I say I just called to say hi, and then I hang up.
And that works?
What do you mean?
JD, I'm going to give you a little wisdom of the world that I'm sure you know. People only network so they can get something from other people. They want other people to help them. And I'm asking you now, JD Jason Davis, do these contacts help you?
You know, that is so wrong, I can't believe you said it. A network is like a mutual benefit society, and it only works when you think of it that way, as something that benefits everyone, not just you specifically.
So you believe in what I would call the love cat philosophy?
I don't even know what that is.
You know, JD, can you make it any harder for me to interview you?
What are you talking about?
You're driving me crazy!
It sounds like you're already crazy. I don't know what you're talking about.
Look, you call me up and ask if you can come on the show. In fact, you act like you've got a right to come on whenever you want, like I said. And now when you get here, you're resistant. I have to pull teeth to get you to say anything. Everything's hush-hush. Everything's confidential. Everything's secret. You know, I don't know.
What are you talking about? I gave you a wonderful opportunity to have me on the show, and you're blowing it. You haven't asked me a good question since I got here.
I haven't asked you a question! Okay, you know what? I don't want to fight with you here. But you better watch your back next time we go to Starbucks, pal. Let's get back on track.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
Is there anything interesting that we can talk about? I would say Facebook. What about the Facebook?
I'm not interested. I've got my own social network.
You know what? Okay, I got another topic. I'm going to ask first. We got quite a few people sitting on the couch here. Anybody want to ask something to JD? Everybody's mic is open. Peanut Gallery, got anything to say?
He's hilarious.
You guys talking about me?
Who's that?
Russell.
Dave Mendoza?
Chris.
I don't know.
Chris? This
Chris,
show's... Chris.
Chris Russell, I've been talking
about. Wait. Who let Chris on this show? I thought this was about my network.
He's got a right to sit in the audience.
How are you, Chris?
Good, man. How are you?
Great.
Chris, speak up, please. You always talk faintly.
I can hear Jason fine. I don't know why you're yelling at him to speak up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I can't hear you, Jason. Well, can you hear Chris?
I can hear him.
Are you on a? Yeah. Can you hear him well, or can you hear him?
I can hear him well.
Chris, are you on a cheap internet phone?
No, you are. I think.
I'm on a cheap phone, but I'm not on an internet phone. It's a landline. What do you have to say, Chris? Come on. This is the recruitingfly.com. What's the actual URL?
Just go to recruitingfly.com. You can get the blog.
No, the just recruitingfly.com.
Yeah.
Okay. Shoot. What do you want to say to JD? Not make it as tough as you can.
I don't know. He's a man of few words, so pulling teeth to get an answer is sometimes hard.
Well, you're the same thing. I've given you a chance to talk. You're not saying anything.
I wasn't calling to ask a question. I was just calling to say hi.
You just want to say hi. Okay. Anybody else want to say something to JD? He knows everything. Come on.
I think recruitingblogs.com is awesome.
Who am I talking to?
This is Jeremy Langan.
Jeremy Langans.
Hey, Jason. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Can you hear this guy?
Yeah, I can hear him. Mike, you assume that we can hear everybody.
Okay, right. You know what? That's not true, because when I listen to these things after, I can't hear. Jeremy, just shout a little. Go ahead. You can talk to JD. The floor is yours.
I didn't really have any questions prepared. It doesn't sound like you did either, Animal, but I guess one thing that I thought of during the initial...
I had questions. He didn't have answers.
Those weren't real questions.
Well, here's a question that has not been asked yet. What else do you have going on besides recruitingblogs.com, Jason?
Well, the other thing that I'm working on is I'm working with ERE, Dave Manister, and I'm working on the Fordyce letter, working with him to develop the Fordyce letter, which I'm super excited about. And that's keeping me busy most of the time.
Hey, Jason, what is that letter? And it seems like it's a very old print thing, right?
Yeah, it is. The Fordyce letter is a newsletter that's been around for about 28 years. And the target market, the hardcore target market, really, I can't stress that enough. Whereas the only real audience that they are focused on is the third-party recruiting industry. Hmm. And the newsletter has gone out monthly, like I said, for the last 28 years. And the interesting thing about it is that only up until very, very recently was it available online. So, people, and I remember, when I started my own recruiting business back in 1997, I used to look forward to the end of the month or the beginning of the month to get it, and it would, it would come to me in the mail, and I mean the whole...
Just like a welfare check.
Yeah, yeah, and the entire newsletter is really geared towards taking the business of recruiting from the concept of, well, it's easy because, you find someone who has a problem, which is they need to hire somebody and you go fill it. So it takes it from the simple concept, really breaks it down so you can understand the process of it and what you need to do and what you need to do well in order.
Give us an example, JD. I don't like abstract statements.
Okay, well, what kind of example would you like?
I don't know. You said it talks about the process of recruiting. Maybe you can't remember. I don't know. But
no, I can remember. I mean, for instance, you call up a company. And I remember this was a real valuable lesson that I got out of it. And it was a very, very short paragraph. And, part of recruiting is scripts. A lot of these scripts were developed many, many years ago. And there's no real good reason to change these scripts. And one of them had to do with you're calling a company and they say to you, well, you know what, you're charging too much money, or we know of a couple other recruiters who will do it for less money. And the idea in this particular script was to explain to them how all day long, all I do is go out and identify real good top talent. The problem is I don't have a warehouse of candidates that are sitting there waiting to come work for you. So even though I've identified them, I still have to do the work, and I still need to make sure. And the whole idea was to explain that this is a process. This is not about pulling out somebody from your desk and sending it in and getting a fee.
Even if it is.
Even if it is, which it's not.
Okay.
So I agree.
Mean,
yeah. The entire newsletter month to month is all about things like fee negotiations, what it really means when you discount a fee from 30 to 25%. Dealing with counter offers. I would say that it's probably the best tool a third party recruiter can have, and I honestly believe that.
Okay, so do you guys have a follow up question? Because I've got one. If you don't,
go ahead, Mike.
Chris Russell asked
that
question, right?
Well,
or Jeremy Langans. Who I don't know. Somebody asked.
I have more a general question for Jason. Jason, what? I'm curious what your daily routine is like. So when you wake up in the morning, what do you start doing, and how do you end up your day in terms of?
You want to ask him why he wants to know? JD wants to know JD's routine from the time he gets up in the morning.
Well, I go to Starbucks. I walk my dog. I have a real nice Newfoundland puppy, who's 7 months old, who looks like she's a bear. She weighs about 85, 90 pounds right now, and she's seven months. So I take her for a walk. I get my coffee. I come to work, I come to my office, and what do? There's a couple things that I do. I'd say for the majority of the week, I'm spending it dealing with the Fordyce letter, and then the balance of the time is spent just thinking about recruitingblogs.com, thinking about domain names, thinking about job boards, thinking about new technology, how recruiters can use it, and just being constantly amazed, for the most part, at what's happened to the recruiting blogosphere.
Sounds like the life of a venture capitalist.
You know, the recruiting blogosphere has come a long way. You know, I the first time I ever heard the word blog was from a post that John Sumser put out many, many years ago, and I was fascinated by it. And at the time, I think there were only about four or five recruiting-related blogs at the time, and now none of them are around anymore, with the exception of recruiting.com, which doesn't even exist the way it originally existed. All the other ones are not around, but, I mean, there has just been a massive explosion.
A couple of the first ones are still around, though.
Such as?
The girls from Microsoft, their blogs are still up.
No, they're not. I'm talking even before that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's
a good follow-up question.
JD, recruiting.com was not. It was Recruiting 101 you had.
Recruiting 101. You're right.
Which is not around anymore either.
Well, if you go to Recruiting 101, it's still there.
Okay. Sorry, okay. That's a false answer, but I'll let it go by.
It's a good history lesson. What was before Recruiting 101?
Yeah, the one that really, well, Recruiting 101 was my first blog, but there was a blog that John Sumser used to always point to called hcm.blogspot.com. And I believe it was about two writers on it, and they didn't come out and say who they were. Nobody knew who they were. And then they decided to add another writer. So really, maybe they were the first recruiting-related group blog. And I actually found out afterwards who it was. I was talking to somebody, and I was telling them this story, and they said I was that person. So that was kind of interesting.
Fascinating. Who is Mr. Fordyce?
Well, I don't know who Mr. Fordyce is, but Paul Hawkinson bought that publication from the Fordyce organization, and he's been running it a long time now.
And so why were you hired?
Why was I hired? Well, I think a couple reasons. Number one, I'm real passionate about the recruiting industry, and I'm a real firm believer that everybody, every single recruiter should subscribe to this. There's absolutely no doubt about it.
Yeah, but what were you hired to do?
Well, I was hired to do a couple things. I guess overall, make sure that every single recruiter out there subscribes to it ultimately. And the way we're going to do that is by building relationships with companies out there who do business with third-party recruiters. One of the things that we're doing is we're building out a website that is going to deal with a lot of the stuff that's been discussed over the years in the Fordyce letter. Because, you know, a lot of these things, that exist today existed 10 years ago. And if you look at a lot of these things in recruiting, they could probably all be classified, you know, no more than 10 to 12 different headings.
You know, you're not saying anything at all. Let me speed it up.
Michael,
you've got a big archive.
I am saying lots of things.
You got a big archive and you're not using it, so I don't get it. How are you
Michael, would you like me to tell you why we hired him?
Oh, you're here.
It's Mr. Bannister.
Go ahead, yes.
All right. So the Fordyce letter has been
Dave
around.
Dave Bannister, who, for those who don't recognize his voice, he hired
JD. Hey, Dave.
JD.
Hi.
How's it going?
ERE hired Jason and, couldn't be happier. Obviously been friends and competitors at some point for so many years now. So, really excited to be working with him after.
What's his goals on that? What's his mission?
So his mission is this. The Fordyce letter has been around for 28 years. It's got this incredible wealth of content.
There's a little too much kissy-kissy on this show, but go ahead now.
If you let me finish the sentence, the kissy-kissy will end. It's been around for a long time. It's got this amazing wealth of content, but at the same time, it's been in a print format and not read by that many people for years. Got it coming from me?
I don't know. It's not my phone, but I can't hear. I can barely hear. Okay, it's gone now.
So it's been around for a really long time, and what we need to do is to take all that amazing content and unlock it and bring it to as many recruiters as possible within the industry and expose them to it and let them know that it's out there. And what we needed was, what we continue to need, is a very entrepreneurial person who can take this amazing property and show it to, you know, to the rest of the recruiting world.
Yeah, how is he going to show it? It's a subscription. It's a magazine. You have to pay for. You can't just give it away on a blog format or anything like that.
Well, first of all, there's no rule that says that you can't give it away on a blog format.
Well, who's going to pay for it then?
That's not the immediate plan, but that you know. All options are open in terms of
that.
We're definitely going to be taking some of the content and unlocking it on the internet and making it available for free, which is not to say there won't be paid options as well. But right now, 0% of it is out there for free. So anything that we do put out as a service to the recruiting community will be some additional information that's not out there now.
Okay. What else? Anything else? So what's he doing with that? Was he going through the old magazines? It doesn't sound like JD.
Hello? Sorry, I just got back on. What did I
mean? Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. Okay, forget it. I'm going to argue with Dave. Dave hired JD to set up a site for the Fordyce letter. We've established they've got a big archive. Everything's still very relevant. People haven't seen that old stuff, but it's a subscription magazine. How can you give away anything for free online if, you know, you want people to subscribe to it? Maybe you can give away a little.
I don't know,
teaser.
Michael. I love Fortune magazine. I read it every couple of weeks when it lands in my mailbox, and I subscribe to it.
Uh-huh.
But when I go to fortune.com, I get the wealth of content there.
Okay, so what's JD doing? JD, what are you doing on the Fordyce letter? You told Chris Russell that you work on it every day.
Yeah, well,
maybe that was because you knew Dave Manister was on the line. I don't know.
I never sleep, Dave. No.
Whose phone is that causing those problems?
Oh, no. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I think that what we are not going to do is give away all the content for free. Of course we're not going to do that. It's a process of sort of engaging because, look, there are a ton of third-party recruiters out there. People who subscribe currently to the Fordyce letter, it's a real, real, real small percentage. So the goal is to say, look, there is a ton of value here. There is gold in these hills here. And what we're going to do is we're going to go out there and let the third-party recruiting industry understand that not only is there a newsletter that they can pay and subscribe to, but there is also a community-like site where they can come and they can get other information. They can learn about other recruiters in their business.
Is this going to be a social networking site?
No, I don't think so. Let me rephrase that. It is not going to be a social networking site.
Okay. Will they be able to leave comments there?
Absolutely.
So they can have roundtable type discussions there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So this is okay. So it's a supplement to the magazine. It's a user-generated content supplement to the magazine. And it's also a marketing tool for you to make people aware of it.
How much does
the Fordyce letter cost to subscribe to?
It's under $200 a year.
Okay.
It's under $200 a year. You know, and there are a lot of companies out there that are selling these products and services into third-party recruiters. And there are just a lot of different ways work together. So I'm excited about that. And the other thing that I'm real excited about with the Fordyce letter is that last year there was something called the Fordyce Forum, which took place in New Orleans the first week of June. There were about 175 people there, and I love conferences, and conferences are something that I'm real interested in. And one of the things that I'm going to be doing, you know, in conjunction with my networking and in conjunction with the website, is promoting that. Last year, there was a number of really good speakers.
You're promoting it?
Well, it's part of what I'm going to be doing. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, not single-handedly.
I think we covered the Fordyce letter. In fact, we should have made it faster. Anything else we want to say about the Fordyce letter? Dave Manister, here's your chance.
If you think we've covered it, we've covered it. It's your show.
No, I'm giving you a chance. You called in. Is there anything else you'd like to say about the Fordyce letter? When's this site going to be available?
Hopefully soon.
Oh, okay. It's not available yet.
It is not available. I mean, there is a website there. There's a website there that can more than describe what it is that it is, though it'll be ready soon.
Okay.
Right now at FordyceLetter.com, it's possible to order the newsletter, but there's not much content
okay.
there.
Fordyce
the
is spelled F-O-R-D-Y-C-E. Am I right?
Yes.
FordyceLetter.com, yes.
Ford like the car, and then Y-C-E.com.
F-O-R-D-Y.
Yeah, they got it. Okay. Yeah. So, next, we're moving on from the Fordyce letter. If anybody wants to bring it up again, they're welcome to. But the next topic is domain names. You said you spend part of your day on domain names.
Those
are URLs for people who don't know, for the ignorant people out there, the www.fordyce.com. That's a domain name. So you are an aficionado, a purchaser, a buyer about domain names. You think about them all day long. I've been in your office. You've got a big chart up there with a bunch of the domain names you own, right?
Correct.
What do you want to tell us about domain names?
Well, I think owning good domain names are good, sound investments. I think from, I don't want to talk about them from a purely investment standpoint, but rather I think domain names for recruiters are a phenomenal way to go about doing business.
You better tell why.
Okay. Well, I think there's a lot of reasons. Number one, there's a lot of search that goes on right now. So if you have a good domain name, let's say it's called photography jobs, which I don't own URL, but let's say
someone's
going
to own it by the end of this show.
Well, I'm sure it's taken. Photographyjobs.com.
Okay.
So it is real easy and not very expensive to explain to somebody when they come to that site what it is that you do. You are either a job board or you're a recruiter looking to hire people for your clients in that industry.
Right. So the address explains the content.
The address explains the content, correct. And the way blogs work, as you know, Google loves blogs, WordPress, Blogger, Typepad. I mean, stuff gets indexed very, very quickly with blogs. So if you're a recruiter and you say to yourself, okay, this is the way I look at it. I look at it, here's the investment. Let's say photography jobs is going to cost $100,000 to buy that domain name. It's
yep.
a lot of money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And most domain name speculators will not spend that kind of money. They will not spend $100,000 on photographyjobs.com.
Okay.
However, if you're a recruiter and you say to yourself, for the next 4 years or 5 years, I am going to really brand everything I do as a recruiter in this industry as I am the photography jobs recruiting guy.
Yep.
Well, how many placements do you need to make in order to make your money back?
Uh-huh.
And that's the way I always look at it.
You think $100,000 is a reasonable price to pay for a good URL?
Yeah, it depends. But, yeah, I mean, there are people spending a lot more money than that. There are
hey,
people
Jason,
who spend...
Hey, Jason, did you see the resumes.com sold for $300,000?
Yeah, I saw that.
Resumes.com sold for $300,000. Who bought it?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's a lot of scratch.
I don't know. So it depends. You know, the value to a job board may be different than to a recruiter.
Okay.
You know, when I was running semiconductorjobs.com as a blog, I would say, other than the advertising dollars and everything like that, I would say it brought in probably about 5 to 7 extra placements over the course of an 18-month period.
Yep.
So if you had to go, and I paid $35,000 for
oh,
that domain.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You invented it yourself.
No. It was actually, I was
did
not.
Did you tell your wife what you paid?
Yes, I did, but she was okay with it.
Okay.
but so if you look at that investment and then you look at what it earned over the next 18 months, it makes a lot of sense. But if you're slugging it out and selling $200 job postings, it's a different story, right?
Uh-huh.
You may have to look at the economics a little bit differently.
Okay. Anything else you want to say? Like, let's say somebody goes out and buys these things for speculation.
Yeah.
Can they make a living at it?
I'm not sure I understand what you're asking.
Let's say, you know, I start thinking up domain names that I think people might want, and I buy them. Can I sell them for an inflated price later on?
Well, you have to be real careful when doing that, because it's easy for a guy like you or even for a guy like me to overpay when you're looking at just buying it and looking to flip them. I mean,
yep.
If you were the original owner, it's not an issue.
Yep.
It's not an issue. But, you know, a lot of times, for instance, slouch.com was a domain name that I bought.
Yep.
When after jobsforbotrecruiting.com, I wanted another one-word domain name. So I scoured the planet and found the cheapest one-word domain name that I could find.
Okay.
And I paid $2,800 for it.
Uh-huh.
And if I look at the traffic it gets, it's terrible direct traffic, and I don't have a site for it.
Yep.
And you know what? I may have trouble going out and selling it to somebody who's looking at, you know, the economics of buying and selling domain names
uh-huh.
for selling it for more than that. So
the ideal, though, is a one-word name, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And the way that you make real money with domain names is if somebody is going to start a business or they're looking to rebrand their own business, and they say that the success of this new business depends on me having that domain name, then people spend more money on them.
Now, I got a question. Maybe some of the members of the audience know. If you have a good domain name, like, you know, photography.com or something like that, is Google or the other search engines, are they going to be more responsive to it?
You know, I don't know for sure. Chris?
Say it again, Animal.
Okay. Let's say you and I are both photographers. In fact, let's say all six of us on the show right now are photographers, right? And one of us has a website called photography.com. Is that person going to come at the top of the list of Google searches for photography all the time?
No, not always.
It definitely depends. I mean, yeah. how long has it been online? You know, what kind of content do you have on there? All those things.
Okay, if you and I have been on an equal amount of time, we're blogging and everything like that, we're pretty equivalent. Will that take me over the top?
It'll help.
Yeah, it'll definitely help. And not only that, when the person doing searches comes to the page and they see photography.com and then another site right under it or right above it with the same sort of content, at least for me, I believe that the person will say, well, I'm going to go to photography jobs or photography.com first.
Okay.
It just sounds better.
Okay. So
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
So this is actually more for Jason and for Chris, but my sense of the domain market is that a lot of the easy money was made when people bought like 5-10 years ago, and they just bought in bulk and have just these very cheap prices on domains, and now they're selling it for these huge amounts. Do you think that the opportunity is as good or does it still exist at all?
Well, I don't believe it's as good. I mean, you can't get them for free anymore.
Right.
So you can't get it for free and sell it for $300,000. So I think those days are gone. However, I do believe that there's a lot of room to be able to buy good domain names, maybe two-word domain names that sound good together or could be a real good brand for something you're already selling, and then use it to actually generate money as either a park site, which I'm not really crazy about,
no.
or use it to promote products that you already have. So I'm still a firm believer that there is money to be made. And then if you look at some of these, you know, the other strategies with some of these big, huge domain name parking companies that own 100,000, 200,000, 400,000 names, they look at it a little differently. They say, okay, well, if I can make 50 cents a day per name or $1.50 per day, multiply that over 200,000 names, and they've got quite an interesting business.
What do you mean multiply it over 200,000 names? Do they set up 200,000 websites?
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
How do they do that? I mean, it's like...
Well, they have an engine. There's a company called MarshX out of Seattle. They're a publicly traded company. They have something like 200,000 domain names. And what happens is if you go to their website, what they say is we're a real targeted advertising network. So much the same as Google or Yahoo, they have companies that are paying them to display ads. And then what happens if I happen to stumble upon one of their sites, you know, they're hoping I become click happy and I go from one site to another site to another site, and they own that whole network. So if they have 200,000 domain names and they're making 10 cents to $100 a day per domain name, you just multiply it out.
Really, I'd like to go into it deeper, but we're really way off the recruiting beat. I think if we had some listeners, we've lost them during the domain discussion, although I personally find it very interesting. So do you want to talk about social networking sites a little more before we have to finish off?
Sure.
That sounds like a no to me.
Well, I think social networking sites are great. I think it's a natural way forward. I mean,
no, really, really, this is my contention. All the social networking site does is offer an easy way to establish an online presence for someone who's not really interested in blogging or really even interested perhaps in the Internet at all. That's why you get people, like you mentioned, on recruitingblogs.com who set up the page and then disappear.
So your question is, I'm not sure I understand.
Did I ask you a question? No, I was just putting out an idea for you to debate with me. This is a show where we discuss things, okay? So I don't know what the value is. They set up a blog.
Think of the value to the user, Animal. Think of it from, you know.
Sorry, Chris, what did you say? I can't hear you.
Think of the value from the user point of view. Think of it from, you know.
What is the value from the user point of view?
To network with other like-minded people.
Has anyone ever networked on one of these networking sites?
You know,
yes.
While we were on the phone, I just got a call from some woman who's a recruiter who wants to join job boarders, and she called me for advice. So there you go, right there.
Okay.
Yeah, I get emails all the time, and in fact, I've developed a real good relationship with an individual who joined recruitingblogs.com. And I see it all the time. I mean, you know, you go and you click around and you can see conversations taking place. And there's no question about it. There's a lot of very interesting people working at interesting companies doing interesting things. And if you take the time to look at what it is that they're doing, it's a wonderful networking opportunity.
I guess what I was saying that, like, I know lots of people as a blogger. A blogger's really, it's not a social networking site, but it is social networking. It's an informal network. So these guys, you're just providing them with an easy way to set up a blog, and it doesn't demand a lot of participation. They can.
Yeah, but I'm not even saying, and I don't even know if Chris is saying that, you know, what we're doing is we're giving someone the opportunity to have a blog. We're giving somebody, it gives somebody an opportunity to be seen.
Yeah.
You know, we all, I guess, at a base level, work in the same industry, but, you know, I'm interested in different things and you're interested in different things, and maybe there's other people who are also interested in other things.
Yeah, it's about learning too, you know.
Yeah.
Can't hear you, Chris?
It's about learning as well.
About learning.
Right.
Learning is blogging. That's the blogging thing. You got a forum for discussion, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, right now there's, I think, about 550 people on recruitingblogs.com, and,
yeah,
you know, sometimes it grows faster than other times. And, you know, one day there'll probably be 1,000 people on it, and maybe one day there'll be 5,000 people on it.
Uh-huh.
And when that happens, there's just more people.
Okay, so it's really a way of organizing people more directly than the recruitosphere. Recruitosphere is a loose network of independent recruiting blogs. On a social network, somebody supplies you with a site, and you're a member of the network without having to really devote a lot of time to developing the site. You can ride sort of piggyback on what other people are doing to maintain the network. Am I right about that? Is that fair?
Maybe kind of fair.
Kind of fair. Anybody else?
Jason?
Yes.
I'd love to hear you describe what an online community is, and because you seem to be one of the experts at fostering and creating and growing an online community.
Is that Jeremy Langens?
That's me.
Okay. I can barely hear you, so just in case anyone else can't hear, he wants Jason to say what an online community is, because JD is the master of organizing online communities.
Yeah, I think an online community is a group, it's a place for like-minded individuals to come and share information about themselves and share information about the kinds of things that they're looking to do and looking to get out of it. I mean, it's a place where you can give and it's a place where you can take.
Yeah, but what's the difference between a social networking site like yours and a loose network like the Recruitosphere itself?
Okay, well, here, do you know anything about your audience, Mr. Animal?
I do some of them. I have a good.
Would you say you know about 50% of your audience, where
no,
they work,
I
what
know,
they do?
I know a small amount.
Right. Well, that's the first big thing.
So you give a face to your audience.
It's not just a face. It's you're saying to them, look, by becoming a member here, here are some things that we want to know about.
Uh-huh.
What do you do? Where do you work? What do you read? And then not only that, you can actually, if they want, you can see what it is that they're doing.
Okay,
you know,
but
where
what I'm saying is, even in that case, if you've got a blog and you give a face and profile to each of the people, the regular readers, so they are really in orbit around someone who's generating content. If you've got a social network, the onus doesn't fall on just one person. It can fall on 10% of the people who enjoy doing that kind of thing. So they can generate the content, and these other people are like planets around it, and they're around the sun, essentially.
You sound like Joel Cheeseman.
Do I?
He said that once. You made fun of him for that.
For what?
For saying that he was the sun.
Oh, the sun. Yeah, well, I didn't say I was a sun. Okay, anything else we should discuss? There's 9 minutes left if you want to discuss it. Or we can end the show. Up to you, J.D. Jason Davis.
Well, I'm happy to end it. Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it. I was real nervous before coming on.
Oh, yeah, couldn't tell. Anybody in the audience want to say anything?
I have a question for Jeremy.
Sure.
Jeremy, on Recruiting Blogs, you asked a question, and it was, what website was the best for recruiting bloggers to set their blogs up on? I was wondering if you got any interesting responses for that.
Well, I got one. As far as I know, so far, I got one response that's actually posted on recruitingblogs.com.
Okay,
and it seemed like the person was, you know, just a little bit newer to the whole concept, and they threw out Blogger because everybody knows Blogger and Google. I got a couple of emails, one that said ERE has been the standard and kind of was the front runner, and people's blogs like Shally's is hosted there and nowhere else, that sort of thing. And then I got another email that said, if you're going to do a blog, just do it on WordPress or Typepad or do your own thing. So I guess I got one vote for each so far.
What do you think?
So far, for me personally, recruiting blogs has been easy due to the fact that it's a Ning platform. And obviously there's, whatever Jason said, 500 people, maybe like 100 people that are active. So that's a lot easier than developing my own traffic on my own blog like I've done in the past.
Yeah, and you know what I think? I think that if what you want to do is have a blog and you want to write and you want to consistently write and you have a lot of ideas and it's going to be part of what it is that you do and part of who you are, then I think you have to go out and get your own blog. You need to develop your own relationships and get on a bunch of RSS feeds and submit your stuff all over the place. But I think if what you want to do is not make that kind of commitment, and it is very, very clear that the vast majority of people, whether they want to make that commitment or not, they're incapable of actually following through with it, then a place like recruitingblogs.com is fantastic because there's a built-in audience, and there's nothing really set up to require anybody to feel that they have to keep pumping out content and pumping out ideas. It's easy to leave comments. You can click through the chatter walls, and you can meet people that way, and it fulfills a lot of things. But I think if what you want to do is have your own blog, then you need to have your own blog. So I would not suggest to somebody, if they want to set up a blog and write every day, twice a day, and really become their own brand, I think what they ought to do...
Might be a good place to start off and then spin off later on once you've got an audience.
Yeah, absolutely. But I also...
I don't see why it couldn't be your own blog. You could get a URL, a domain name, point it there.
Yeah, the problem right now, and this might change one day, but Ning, I mean, they set out and they did a lot of things, and one of the things that they do well, but not super well, is deal with comments and trackbacks and URLs and stuff like that for the blog posts.
Yeah, so it's not allowed categories, which I don't like.
Yeah, it's real tough. I mean, it's real tough to do that. So there's no question about it. Using Blogger or Typepad is a much better way to build your own personal blog. But if you just want to, you know, kick around and write stuff when it comes into your head and sort of get read, then I think Recruiting Blogs is a great place.
I'll give you a third piece real quick. If you are the person that likes to write a lot, likes to develop their own content, likes to market themselves, et cetera, like myself, I have been in the past, but you're just too stinking busy with your real-life job,
mm-hmm.
then Recruiting Blogs is an outlet where you can focus that energy and not have to have a big time commitment at all. A few minutes every other day and you're good to go.
What right. do you mean?
Well, if you take a look at my profile on there, it looks like I spend 2 hours a day on it, but I maybe spend that a week, maybe.
You know what? I don't know what you're talking about, although this is what I think you're trying to say. You're trying to say that if you're a member of a group blog, then you don't have to carry the onus yourself. The site still works even if you're not responsible for generating all the content. Right or wrong?
Yes.
Anything else that you're saying that I missed?
When we're talking about that sense of online community and fostering that, that's a big time commitment for someone to keep up with all of that.
Yep.
And Jason Davis does a lot of that for us.
Uh-huh.
And keeps recruiting blogs in the spotlight. So
uh-huh.
right now it's a good place to host your blog and to be a part of it, that
okay.
community.
Okay. And with that, I think we're going to end. Thank you very much, David Manister, Jeremy Langens, Chris Russell, the Recruiting Fly, and of course, our main guest, J.D. Jason Davis. You should host a contest on your site. Who's the king of the recruiting blogs? But you'd have to be able to run yourself. And that's it. Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Next week.
Bye-bye.